on the live line with us, Madison Mayor Paul R. Soglin. Mayor, good afternoon.
Hey there, Sly. Oh. Just want you to know that I never had more than one wife at a time.
That's great to know. A real quick reaction to Donald Trump's remarks this afternoon about people with the Second Amendment could stop Hillary Clinton.
I don't know what this guy's thinking of. I think what he's trying to do is he is trying to force the Republican Party to remove him. I think this is his way of getting out from under an awful, awful situation that he finds himself in.
Well, as a support, as somebody who actually supports the Second Amendment, that sort of language is so irresponsible. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I was going to vote for Jill Stein, and I've decided that I can't let this happen.
Well, I'm clearly voting for Hillary Clinton, but let me go back to Donald Trump. You know, people look at his enormous empire of real estate and what he's accomplished over the years, and the view is, well, the guy has to have something special about him to have succeeded that way. And I think it's very important, and this is coming from myself, who's for years, 40 years now, dealt with real estate developers. And believe me, I am now going to be very complimentary to 99% of them. But it is possible to have done what he has done and be a whack job, to be an irresponsible person who is brutal beyond imagination in regards to the treatment of other people. It is possible in this country to be successful as a real estate developer, as a capitalist, as a speculator, and still be
a human being. There I go. Now I'm going to have to hit the bleep button. I'm voting for Clinton with some pretty deep reservations because of where she takes her money. I'm obviously very tired of these free trade deals. She's promised that she won't do it. I will hold my breath here. Did it concern you when you saw her the other day, though, with Warren Buffett, knowing what Warren Buffett did to Madison and what happened with this Brazilian hedge fund group and Warren Buffett and what they did with Oscar Mayer?
Well, and I think it goes much deeper than that. But, these are the kinds of business decisions that are made in this country. And when you ask what can be done to avert that, it can be done by reasonable laws and regulations that this nation, deep in its history, going back over 100 years ago, was prepared to undertake. That's the kind of folks we were. And I just think that talking about getting back to the good old days, we ought to get back to the good old days when we had child labor laws, when we had the Sherman Antitrust Act, when we regulated safety conditions, whether it applied to workers or to the environment. And unfortunately, there have been a number of Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, who have shaved off parts of this American heritage in their cavorting with Wall Street.
When you were on television the other day talking about the Oscar Mayer plant, and you said that's just not going to happen, what manufacturing has done in that plant anymore, it broke my heart.
It's the reality, and let me go back.
Are you sure? Well, you sure we can't put manufacturing in there?
We may be able to bring manufacturing to the site, but we will not be able to utilize that old plant for modern day manufacturing. And here's part of the point. If 15 or 20 years ago, the leadership of Oscar Mayer had started to evaluate the future of the company and the real 21st century, they would have looked at that operation and they would have started making changes then. And so they approached the year 2015 that would have been an efficient site, worth preserving and worth maintaining. But let me just give you one example. The entire complex, that massive complex, is got one HVAC system, the entire thing, from tip top to end. And what can be salvaged there, once you start taking apart the 100-year-old pieces, you have no heating system left. You have no ventilating system. And the cost of going in and retrofitting is prohibitive.
What would you like to see happen on that site?
Well, we've told Oscar Mayer the overall use of the site in terms of our focus is jobs. And when we're talking jobs, we are not talking retail. In other words, someone just recently said, oh, well, let's put a shopping mall in there. We got enough shopping malls with $10 and $11 an hour jobs where the workers are limited to 20 hours a week and don't get any benefits. So that's our principal point. If someone comes in with a proposal and says, well, we want to take off some corners here and do some housing or some stuff like that, the answer is no. After you come in with the main focus of jobs, good, sustainable jobs, then if there's things that can be done around the edges, that's fine in terms of housing or retail.
So who's going to pay for all the demolition and everything? Is the city going to have to pay for that?
No. We are focusing on Oscar Mayer. Our objective is to... All right, we're estimating $10 to $20 million as a gross cost for dismantling the site. And the reason for the variation is that we don't know how much of the equipment they're going to take out and repurpose in other facilities, or they'll sell on the market. We don't know what the price for scrap that's salvageable will be. But what we're prepared is for them to take care of the site, except for ground remediation. And if they want to deliver the title to the land to us for $1 with the site cleared, then with our being eligible for EPA funds, we will take care of the remediation. And the EPA funds are only available if the city owns the land.
Can you use eminent domain?
Wouldn't want to. Wouldn't want to. I wouldn't take the property today if they handed it to us for a dollar and gave it to us. I wouldn't take it if they gave us the land and $1 million.
Is that property's...
It's too much.
Too much
of a liability.
Is that property's proximity to the airport of value to some company to do something there? Or...
So what's special about the land? It's got rail access.
Rail access.
It's within a couple miles of the interstate. It's across the street from the airport, and it's large, giving you a good deal of flexibility. It is all that is a tremendous asset, plus it has massive feeders for water and power onto the site, not to mention the sewage system. So it is a great site.
How many times did you shake hands out there at PlantGate over the span of your career?
Oh, I can remember getting up at 3:30, 4 in the morning and going out there in January at 10, 12 degrees below zero and shaking hands. Oh, my goodness.
You think of what Oscar Mayer retirees have done for this community, and when that was a company that was involved in this community for the whole area, not just for Madison, the whole surrounding area. It's a pretty devastating blow.
There's no question about it. And one of the things that will be certainly part of any new site is somewhere there's going to be a plaque. Somewhere there will be a plaque honoring the company and the tens of thousands of people who work there.
Paul Soglin is obviously interested in making sure that Madison remains a safe place. I want to ask you a little, Mayor, about the situation with something that I saw begin last year, and it's only escalating, pulling up to an intersection with having people standing there begging for money. And that wasn't completely new, but suddenly it was young people who appeared to not be homeless. They appeared to be in pretty good condition as far as their attire. What's going on?
All right, so back in the 1990s, we had a number of issues at these intersections. The big ones approaching shopping centers where you've got, you know, the 3 and 4 lane roads intersecting at stoplights. And we had a couple of things going on in the median strips. One was panhandling, and the other was high school kids who were doing their fundraising for their car wash and dancing around and waving signs. And we said, this is not safe. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed here. And if it's not them, they may end up causing an accident. So we talked to a lot of the high school kids, and high schools got their kids off the streets. Panhandlers didn't listen. So we introduced an ordinance saying no panhandling in the median strip. So the 7th District Court of Appeals, said that this kind of ordinance that specifies the panhandling itself is unconstitutional because panhandling is a form of free speech, and you cannot specify a form of free speech. So there is a solution. And the solution is to rewrite the ordinance and come in with language which simply says you can't hang out and do all this kind of mischievousness and dangerous behavior in the median. And so once the constitutional question was raised by the court about 4 or 5 months ago, you saw all these folks rushing to the intersections. So I responded, and I brought in an amendment to the ordinance to fix this back in June. So then what happened is the city council decided to refer it for study. They wanted to see what the adverse impacts in terms of equity might be.
Equity?
And I don't know. In the meantime, I've done research, and you can do some research on the internet. Just go to your Google search engine, and you can put in a variety of words, including panhandler, traffic accident, dead, killed, panhandler, causes traffic accident, and so on. And you can get a whole group of documented instances from coast to coast of panhandlers who are getting killed while doing this or causing traffic accidents, including one poor woman who received a gift from a driver and then went out to get another gift from another car and got run over and killed by the donor. And people are saying, well, we don't have this kind of history in Madison. I said, of course we don't, because we had an ordinance that prohibited it for 20 years.
Well, I thought there was a law that drivers couldn't be giving money to panhandlers when they were at intersections like that.
That's another thing that some cities have done, and we're going to probably add to it.
Well, the Madison police did a sting a number of years ago on that. They were ticketing people at Westtown who were giving money to panhandlers at intersections. I remember that specifically.
But rather than have to give tickets to 30 or 40 people, we'd like to be able to just go up to a panhandler, say, this is illegal, you will get arrested, and you'll get a fine. Go away.
Who are these people? Are they collecting money for drugs?
Okay, Sly, how much time do we have?
As much time as you want. Because they don't look homeless to me.
All right, I think we've got enough time for me to open up the computer, which I am doing, and I'm going to go to a internal memo. We do not reveal who the people are for confidentiality reasons. And I'm going to start reading you a couple of excerpts. This is involving. All right. During my conversation, I'm reading right off the police report here. During my conversation with X, I informed him. He had a sign that said "Homeless Vet." I informed him that I have some knowledge of veteran organizations and programs. So he gave him references. Then he asked him, what branch of the military are you in? And the guy said that he'd been in the infantry. I then asked him what his MOS was in the infantry. MOS is military occupational specialty. Now, everybody in the military knows what their MOS is. This guy didn't know. And then the report goes on to say, so I told him that I was having a difficult time believing he'd actually served in the Army, as he couldn't answer the simple questions of what his MOS was during his time of service. And he then told me, quote, I have my military ID card at home, unquote. So this guy's saying he's a homeless vet.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot describe his MOS. And he says, I have my military ID card at home. So much for this homeless vet out there. I've got a half a dozen of these documented here.
Well, I'm just wondering, because we have
there's one young man. Let me just go on. There's one young man. I've observed the individual at the intersection a number of times. He appears to coordinate activities with several other panhandlers. I've observed him on the area at a Metro bus stop. I've seen him, and there's identification of the car. Today, his sign said he was moving to Texas. Then, the next guy admits he is a 29-year-old heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
He stays at a shelter. He takes the bus from downtown to the Westtown area. He is homeless. He started with prescription pills, which led to heroin use. He is a bricklayer by trade and got hooked on prescription pills after issues with his knee. Now, my question for the social service people, the state of Wisconsin, and the Veterans Administration folks is, on the one guy claiming to be a vet, why haven't we outed him? And on this other guy, who is the classic of a modern problem today, why haven't our substance abuse people gotten to him?
So, in other words, and obviously people are in their cars right now, don't give money to people panhandling at intersections. You could be feeding their addiction.
Steve Schooler, the director of Porchlight, the biggest homeless organization in the county, and probably the biggest one in Wisconsin outside of anything in Milwaukee, says repeatedly, if you want to give the money directly to those who provide services to the homeless. Help the guy I just described get treatment for his heroin addiction.
So you've pursued another measure with the homeless downtown. Explain that one.
So if you come downtown at about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, there are certain places where it looks like you're walking into some 12-year-old's bedroom. There's underwear and socks and clothing all over the place. the bedding is strewed about. And what I want to do is say that from the time people start going to work through the evening hours at about 9, 10 o'clock, you have to pick up your room. You have to pick up your stuff, and you can't leave it strewn about this way. You can put it out, and you can sleep there for 9 hours every night. But when you get up in the morning, you have to clean up and pick up. That makes me just a horrible, awful person.
How much flack have you gotten for that one?
A lot of grief. A lot of grief. Anything we've done in terms of the millions and millions of dollars we've been spending on homeless services, building the facility at Rethke with the county for 50 chronically homeless people, which is now a couple of months open and a major success, what we've done with the family housing, all that is ignored.
One final question for you today, Mayor.
But I love my job.
Of course you do. You wouldn't keep doing it if you didn't like it. The Madison police the other day had with a man that was clearly mentally deranged, who had made the Snapchat video saying he was going to go out and take out an officer. Mm-hmm. Turns out he had a BB gun, but it obviously was a lookalike gun. How happy are you with how the Madison police handled that situation?
Well, they handled it quite well, as they handle, you know, 99.9% of cases which involve threats and potential violence. You know, people really ignore the fact that every single day there are instances where there is potential violence to the public, to the officers themselves, and those cases are de-escalated and handled very well to everyone's satisfaction.
So all sides of the rhetoric that's used in involving policing, and obviously there are problems and there are legitimate concerns, but when people use violent rhetoric or disparaging remarks for a broad group of officers, calling them Nazis, or failing to condemn the assassination of officers in Texas, that has consequences, does it not?
There are people, whether they are political activists on the ground or Donald Trump, who have the right to free speech, who have the right to say or not say what they wish, but who do play a role in creating an escalated atmosphere of tension, and potentially it leads to violence. There may be no direct connection to them and the violent incidents, but they do contribute. And I'm not going to try and silence them, but I do think that we have to understand how all of these things are interrelated. Whether it's an officer-involved shooting in Madison, whether it's an attack on a police officer in Dallas, it's going to have consequences in Des Moines, Iowa, in Chicago, mm-hmm. in Los Angeles, in Seattle, as well as in our own communities.
Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
Hey, Sly, it's always great. I'm so good that we've had a great summer, and I expect we'll both see each other at the Labor Day festivities, if not sooner.
All right. Sounds great. Yes, we want you to come on the program that day. We'll talk about that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.